Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites, HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. There for the video and audio segments of this show. HagmanReport.com for all things in print. HagmanStore.com for coffee. Coffee. I need my coffee. I need the bean. That's right. Go to HagmanStore.com. Purchase gourmet coffee, three different types, three different kinds. Well, the types would be whole bean, ground, and K-cups, and the kinds would be Detective's Choice Hypercaffeinated and Patriot and Revolution blends. Different levels and stages of darkness. From the roaster to your cup, our goal within 3 days, 3 to 5 days, and we've been meeting that goal. Open your mailbox and ooh, that smell. The aroma, I should say. Yes. I am a member of AARP, of course. Angry. That's right. Angry and armed. Ready, Patriot. 2020. Looking at this, and I don't know who said this or wrote this. 2020, the year we learned what happens when you give participation trophies to losers when they're kids. Think about that, folks. 2020, this is the year we learned what happens when you give participation trophies to losers when they're children, when they're kids. I mean that. Joining me today on this audio-only throwback Monday is John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com. TheLibertyMan.com, John Moore. How are you doing, John?
Outstanding, Doug. Good to be with you. How are you doing, sir?
Let me check. It looks doing well. I was on with Mancow out of Chicago this morning for a while, and it was kind of a fun date. I got to tell you that, folks. Mancow on his, I believe it was his podcast. I'm not sure if it was both terrestrial or podcast, but it was Mancow's podcast. Folks, subscribe to Mancow's podcast because he's good. He really covers a lot. But John, you've got a show, of course, Monday through Friday, 3 hours long now. So today, 5 hours worth of radio.
It's a marathon. But I dropped Dr. Deagle. It was 6 hours. Was just over the top too much.
6 hours.
Yeah, it was. 5 hours is a lot. It basically, it takes over your life for that day. I come out of here at the end of our show together, and I have to reorient myself as to date and time and where I am and everything. It's just, it's pretty intense.
You know, here's the thing. I don't think most people don't really understand what goes into a podcast, a broadcast, radio, video, audio, video, whatever it might be. I'm not talking about people who just simply, read the headlines or just get into headlines. I'm talking about the diving deep into subject matter like you do, with your guests and constant, deep dives into issues. And that takes a lot out of you. I mean, I got to tell you, by Friday night, I'm ready to, sleep for a couple of days. I don't know about you, but.
Well, I get good rest every night, but it's a challenge. It's an intellectual, philosophical challenge. It's a emotional and physical challenge. It's a lot of things. Yeah. Unless you've done it, it's hard to understand what it is, but it's all those things. But it's very gratifying also. And quite frankly, Doug, I'd rather do this than work another homicide investigation.
Interesting. Yeah. For a lot of reasons. I mean, both take a lot out of you. And you can only work so many homicide investigations before you start really it starts really wearing at you.
Right. Well, I reached that point. But I've considered what would I do if the lawyer I worked a number of homicides with, going back to the late 70s, early 80s, if he called me and said, John.
Oh, did we lose you, brother? John, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. So you ended, if he called me and said, John, and that's where I lost you.
John, I got a murder case I want you to help me with. I would say, Frank, okay, here's my offer. I will be in an advisory capacity to review the case, to strategize with you, and to direct the efforts of a young homicide detective as to where he should be going to conduct interviews, what the interview should consist of, what evidence he needs to be seeking, and how to get it. And I will be acting in an advisory capacity, not the day-to-day investigations. That's what I would do if I got that call.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. I've worked one homicide investigation in the past 18 months, but actively. And again, wow. But yes, I agree with you. Acting in an advisory capacity or a consultant is a lot easier or a lot less trying on you than the actual getting in the field. And I get that. But thanks for your service and thanks for everything you've done in that field over the years. I really appreciate that. And that's made you who you are, among other things that really does. So, but we got so many headlines to get into, or so much information to get into. Ruth Bader Ginsburg assumed room temperature on Friday. God bless her. I mean, you know, hey, she's a human. She's a human being. I think, but, she passed away. And of course that leaves a big issue with respect to the replacement of a Supreme Court justice. But I think there's going to be an all out fight against that. Of course,
it's already begun.
Yeah,
it's already begun. There's protesters were in front of the Senate majority leader, already.
Yes.
His hometown, his home. There will be a Supreme Court nominee. I believe the president may delay, or the Senate may delay the vote until the day after the election to prevent vulnerable senators from having issues with being reelected. But they can go through the entire review process of nominating this person, getting ready for that vote, leading up to the election, which would easily consume these few weeks. We've got 43 days. To save these vulnerable senators from losing their elections, just delay the vote another day or two, or even a week following the election, and then go ahead. We got the numbers. We can go ahead and get the new nominee appointed and get that person. Probably going to be a woman. This one woman's name keeps coming up over and over again. Maybe she'll be the one. And get that person in her ASAP. Preferably before there's a decision needs to be made on the election itself.
It's headed that direction.
And our mutual friend Mike Adams has written an excellent article he just published yesterday, Doug, at his website. Are you aware of this?
Natural News, or is
that Natural News?
Yeah.
Here's the title of the article. Likely timeline of events to take place from September 20th to January 20th, covering vaccines, Supreme Court, Election Day, markets, terrorism, and insurrection.
I saw that. Yeah, let's go over that article, because that's incredibly important.
It is. What Mike's done is prognosticated. He's giving predictions based on, and I think reading an article is quite boring. You lose people, but the first paragraph is two sentences, and I think I want to motivate people to read the entire article. So I'm going to read the first paragraph, which is two sentences, please. Here we go. What follows is a likely timeline of events to take place between now, September 20th, and January 20th, 2021. Due to the extreme volatility of current events, almost no one dare make predictions these days. But the timeline is based on interviews with top law enforcement who have ties to federal agencies, with additional sources from the militia community, as well as individuals close to the Trump administration. Mike Adams has been at this a long time. He's developed excellent sources, and he's interviewed these people to get the information that's in this article. And to summarize the article, Doug, he says we're in for hard times between now and the election. And then after election, no matter who gets elected, we're in for even harder times, leading to what he believes would be a breakup of the United States of America by 2025.
You know, I read that, and yes, if the current trajectory maintains, I can see where the United States would be broken up by the first year of the next president. I guess that's the only way I could say it. I could see where we're so balkanized already that it wouldn't be a big leap to go there. So yes, I agree with you on that. And I agree with Mike on that as well. So, looking at this article, there are a couple of good points in here. Many good points, that is. The surge of riots and violence will now take place due to Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing. And of course, you know, people have to know who she was too. There seems to be a glossing over of her reputation by the left and the right. She was advocating for infanticide. She was a hero of the bloodthirsty left because she protected the right to murder their own babies without any kind of consequences whatsoever. That's who she was, at least as a justice member of the court.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That was her very heart and soul of her being was to advocate for those things.
Yeah.
That's who the woman was. That is exactly who the woman was. And the left is quite upset with her that she did not resign when Obama was president. But of course, they all felt they were so full of hubris that they believed that Hillary Clinton would no doubt be elected against this guy who's never held a public office, that had funny orange hair and so forth. But they were wrong. The American people spoke, and Hillary's not the president, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg is dead, and there will be a conservative taking her place, which needs to happen. Justice Roberts, I would like to see him resign. I don't see that happening anytime soon. And Clarence Thomas, who is probably the best person we've got on that court, he probably would like to resign and move on with his life. He's done a good job there for a long time. Which will make another appointment for President Trump, of course. Getting back to Mike Adams' article, what I was talking about this morning on my show, Doug, is to encourage people to discontinue their procrastination. And that's a tough burden to overcome, is people's procrastination. They have their urban-suburban lifestyle, urban-suburban employment, urban-suburban everything, friends, family, shopping, church, everything is comfortable where they are. And to leave all that is challenging. It's challenging every way you can imagine. And most people aren't going to do it, but I feel a compulsion to encourage people to do what's uncomfortable, do what's not pleasant, do what's financially burdensome, and go ahead and make that move and get out of these densely populated urban suburban areas. What do you think, sir?
Well, you know, I've got a question, because wasn't it Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, Patrick Wood talked about this, and so many others have talked about this. Wasn't it the objective of the powers behind the powers to pack and stack people into cities?
Right, right.
Okay, so.
Right. Absolutely. It still is.
Okay, so what the hell happened? Because now we see this mass exodus out of the big cities into suburbia, beyond suburbia. This can't be made. I mean, everything that the left appears to be doing seems to be backfiring from the rioting on the streets, or at least that's the way it appears to me at times, to the stack and pack cities.
I agree, Doug. And, they control a lot, but they can't control everything. The stack and pack cities has objective has not gone away. on one hand. On the other, most Americans do live in densely populated urban suburban areas. Of course, the most concerning ones are the ones that are blue cities and blue counties that are in blue states. Those are the ones that are most concerning. And if you happen to live in one of those areas, then getting out of that area is not optional. Recently in the last few days, Doug, that postal workers in the Chicago area are being shot at. That's very dangerous because the postal workers will just stop. You know, they'll just quit their jobs rather than be shot at, which they should do. You can always get another job, but you only get one life.
Right.
So I expect that the postal workers will be asking to be transferred or resigning their positions in the metro Chicago area. We had a caller today, a regular caller. I've known this man for a number of years. His profession is driving fuel trucks. And he has reports, because he's in that culture, in that subculture, of a number of fuel trucks being shot at in different cities around the country right now. Obviously, a fuel truck that's empty is basically a 50-foot-long bomb.
Yep.
When they're full of fuel, they could burn, but when they're empty, they explode. So that's very concerning as well, because there was an incident in my hometown in St. Louis where a fuel truck was shot at with a Kalashnikov 30 times without causing any harm to the driver or blowing up the truck. But it doesn't seem to be for lack of trying, does it?
No, not at all. So you're okay. Just to be clear, you're getting reports, number one, Chicago mail carriers being shot at, and number two, in big cities across the United States, fuel trucks being targeted. So
exactly.
Obviously what we're looking at here is something that's very organized. And I would also add in there these wildfires that we're seeing, especially in the West.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've got something on that from, I think, Greg Reese did a video about directed energy weapons and actually showing some evidence or some documentation to suggest that they're being used perhaps by, an offending country such as China, I'm not sure of that, but anyway. Yeah, so we have a lot of stuff going on all across the United States, all across the planet right now.
We do.
All right.
We do, absolutely. So our job as watchmen on the wall is to bring this information to the people, inform them, and encourage them. And the people's job is to pay heed and hopefully do the right thing for the right reasons. The time is short. This election will be in 43 days.
Yep.
That's in our face, basically. It's in our face.
Sure. And by the way, I mean, time seems like it's going so quickly. It's going to be over, or just starting before we know it. So, 43 days is nothing. It's going to be Christmas. We're going to be looking for, or looking at the Valentine's Day. Well, no, Christmas holidays here before we know it. So, man, we're out of time, I think, aren't we?
Well, we are. Us civilians out here, we have limited ability, but we have limited time. People need to make the best use of their abilities, their time, their resources. The resources being two things, time and money.
Mm-hmm.
Both are in short supply for most people most of the time. But make the best use of what you got. Make sure you've got plenty of, if you live in an area where you don't have a proprietary source of water, they need to store up lots of water. 55-gallon drums would be great. Food-grade 55-gallon drums.
Yep.
Not something industrial surplus. Food, freeze-dried food, canned food, food that does not require refrigeration, a way to have heat if the power grid goes down. The power grid obviously will be attacked.
Yep.
That's a given.
Yep.
That's a given. Easy to do. Doesn't require weapons. Does not require explosives. A trip to the local hardware store will get you everything you need to bring down the power grid.
Of course.
Bolt cutters, hacksaws, sledgehammers, and so forth. You don't need explosives or weapons to knock down the power grid. And this is common knowledge. I'm not telling a secret here, Doug, am I?
No, no, not at all. It's
perfect.
I mean, the Anarchist Cookbook, of course, that's quite a bit about explosives, but no, all of the plans are out there, and you'd have to be real. Yeah, you'll be able to find it if you look for it, but hopefully we're going to have a defense against that, if not a military, a civilian defense against people that are going to go up against. Look, I fully expect us to be shooting. Okay. And folks, I don't want this, but I fully expect us to be on the streets shooting November 4th, maybe November 5th. I don't know. Sometime in that time frame, if not earlier. As things progress, maybe this Ginsburg thing is going to start it off. And as I said last week, and I'll tell you, John, and I'll tell the audience as well, if I have to be the person that is recognized as firing the defensive shot that marks the beginning of this, you know, second American Civil War, then so be it, because I'm not going to allow this country to, my children and my grandchildren that live in a country that's been made into Venezuela or some other hellhole across the, you know, in the world. I'm not going to allow that. So if that sounds like tough talk to people, well, so be it. But I'm not going to let that happen. I'm getting too old for this crap, and I'm not going to let this country descend into chaos and to become the, And I'll say it, just like Donald Trump said, the shitholes out there like Venezuela. And if that's offensive to you, then you know what? I'm not apologizing. It's the way.
I met some folks Thursday night that are making a documentary on how Venezuela went from the wealthiest, most prosperous country in South America to the poorest in just a few short years. These are native Venezuelans who have immigrated to the United States, and they've interviewed a number of people to put their documentary together. I'll have a link from my website once it's ready. Doug, we got some good news from Mike about what's happening right now. President Trump pre-positioning military around the country to deliver vaccines. Apparently, Mike Adams feels that that's not the reason they're being pre-positioned. They're being pre-positioned to deal with the communist insurrection. Now, quite frankly, that makes more sense. I mean, there's plenty of people with the skill sets to inject vaccines. There's no shortage of people that can do that. But having these military pre-positioned to deal with the insurrection, I hope he's right. I hope that's the good news we've been looking for, don't you?
I hope so. There's really, how can anyone verify that? I mean, I suppose if you're at the upper levels, you could verify it, but by verifying it, you would be exposing your plan, which would not be good. But it does make sense when you look at his previous comments and even his current comments about vaccines. And I know people are saying, well, you know, Operation Warp Speed, Operation Warp Speed, look, Trump bad because our Operation Warp Speed. No, hold on a second. Did you catch the part about him saying anyone who wants it as opposed to being forced and things like that?
Right.
Yeah.
So, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope that's the case, man.
Right. I believe in his heart of hearts, Donald Trump is very leery of any and all vaccines. And there's strong evidence of that with him prepared to bring Robert Kennedy Jr. into his administration to deal with the issue of vaccines.
And didn't we talk about that last week?
We have.
Yeah.
But we always have new people, don't we?
No. But I want to make sure I wasn't going.
No, we did talk about it. We did.
Okay. All right.
His advisors got to him and said, Mr. President, let's not try to take on the most powerful people on the planet, the pharmaceutical industry, this first term. Let's not do that. Let's wait till term number two. And I assume he got that advice. If he did, that was the correct advice. Because even the president doesn't want to take on the pharmaceutical industry and face another election. The money that would go into the opposition would be off the charts crazy. Even Joe Biden could get elected if he got the money from his pharmaceutical industry. So,
yeah, that's true.
But that's where his heart of heart is. So I'm not unduly concerned about the president's attitude on vaccines and them being forced. And I think he's He's playing a game of chess where he's three or four moves ahead of his opposition. That's what I believe, Doug.
In this particular instance, I agree with you. Now, when people say that as a blanket statement, I tend to think that's a little bit hyperbolic, but in this case, I believe that to be the case. Speaking of vaccines, I want to get your take on this, and I'm sure you've seen this. Tucker Carlson had the Chinese whistleblower on.
I saw it.
Okay, you saw it? All right. But I'm going to lay the foundation. I want to lay a foundation for what's happening today. And I believe that the President Trump, back in, January maybe, knew, I'm going to get your take on this. I believe that President Trump initially knew about all of the nuances, or at least known at that time about the coronavirus. With your permission and your indulgence, I'd like to spend about 2 minutes on. I think it's maybe two.
Please.
Okay. All right.
You're gonna play a clip here.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and play that clip.
This virus is not from nature.
A Chinese virologist called Li Mengyan is in hiding tonight after criticizing the Chinese government's duplicitous response to the Wuhan coronavirus.
And we continue to expose China. The Wuhan virus was made in China in a lab. We've been telling you about the possibility of this for months. Now a Chinese virologist has confirmed it.
The professor who fled to the U.S. for her safety says she's now determined to share her findings with the world.
The reason I came to U.S. is because I deliver the message of the truth of COVID-19. If I tell it in Hong Kong, the moment I start to tell it, I will be despaired and killed. No one can hear me. So for this purpose, I would like to go to U.S. and tell the truth of the origins of COVID-19. To the world.
She says even if one does not have expertise in biology, it can still be read, checked, identified, and verified. The virologist noted that claims the virus emerged from so-called wet markets in Wuhan are nothing but a smokescreen made up by the Chinese government to hide the true origins of the virus.
It is a man-made virus created in the lab based on the China military discover and owned the very unique bat coronavirus, which cannot affect people, but after the modification, become the very harmful virus.
This virus is not from nature. This is based on the China Military Institute discover and owned some bad coronavirus named ZC45 and ZXC21. Based on that, after lab modification, becomes a novel virus.
Based on the virus genome, is basically like our fingerprint. So you can see the very unusual characters in their genome, which clearly, based on the other evidence they left during the modification, we can say finally this is exactly the one come from their own special bad coronavirus and then target human.
There was someone else who had knowledge of all of this. The director of a lab affiliated with the WHO, the World Health Organization. So neither the Chinese government nor the WHO-affiliated lab did anything to sound an alarm. They watched quietly as the virus spelled chaos, first in China and then across the world.
All right.
Is China trying to shut down coronavirus whistleblowers? The start of criticism towards the Chinese authorities was the death of whistleblowing doctor Li Wenyang. He's one of now two high-profile doctors to die as a result of the outbreak.
I feel very disappointed, but I already know this would happen because I know the corruption among this kind of international organization like WHO to China government, to China Communist Party government.
For telling the truth, the doctor says she'll be, quote, disappeared and killed. This is the government, the NBA, and so much of corporate America, and so many of our politicians suck up to, one that murders doctors for telling the truth.
All right, John, that last part, I think, is kind of what I wanted to touch base with you on, okay? To me, there are two issues here real quick, and then I want to turn it back to you. The number one issue is the coronavirus itself and the release thereof, that being originating from or facilitated by China. That's number one. And the second thing, or 1B would be, the response, World Health Organization and CDC, United States response to this. The question as an investigator is who benefits from this? And then allow me this, and then I'm going to turn it back to you. On September 20th, the Conservative Treehouse had an article, I think written by Sundance. It was September, it was posted on September 20th. Catherine Engelbrecht of True the Vote outlines an election warning. Now, there are two different issues here. One is the coronavirus or COVID-19, as they call it. And the second is what I mentioned about the election and True the Vote and the impact that this coronavirus has given or has allowed to the left. And in this article, very quickly, and then I'm going to again turn it over to you. In order to, Sundance says right now, those who wish to fundamentally change our nation are waging a full frontal assault against our constitutional republic. In this bombardment, it's just overwhelming. And a really, really big component of this is our response to coronavirus or COVID-19. And mail-in voting, of course, lack of ability for Donald Trump to have rallies and such, and so on. I mean, the list is there. You can go to September 20th of 2020 on Conservative Treehouse. But what are your thoughts on this as a weapon that would bolster the left and specifically bolster Biden in the upcoming elections?
Which part would be a weapon, sir?
Well, I think the in general, the response to this coronavirus. Look, I mean, it's a thing. I know one gentleman who died from it, without any comorbidities whatsoever. So that was very recently, but so it's definitely real, but the hype, the response and the way we're handling it is almost weaponized against the Republic.
Right. Well, there's been a consortium of 1,000 medical doctors based out of Germany, but they're from many different countries that have gone public saying the response is basically a fraud and a scam. And they list four other pandemics in the last 20, 30 years that were promoted by the same people promoting this pandemic in terms of who's behind making it look worse than what it is. The response is what's fraudulent. Yes, there is a virus. Yes, it can and will kill people, just like the regular seasonal flu can and will kill people. The response is where the bodies are buried. The response has been totally out of proportion to a virus that, if it's any worse than the regular flu, it's not much worse than the regular flu that we have every year. We've had pandemics for centuries, Doug, and for at least 2 to 3 centuries, we quarantined the sick people. We've never quarantined the healthy people before. That's never happened that I'm aware of.
That's tyranny.
Yes, it is. Wearing a mask is physically harmful to everybody, regardless of their health. We've got governors and mayors issuing edicts. We've got governors telling medical doctors what they may and what they may not prescribe with no authority to make that decision, but they're doing it anyway. We have governors and mayors telling people they have to wear a mask when they're outside by themselves. Complete insanity. And people are going along with it, unfortunately. It's a psychological thing that people don't want to be thought of badly. They want to be team players. They don't want to be ridiculed. And so the people, even those who don't want to wear the mask, they're wearing it anyway. to avoid being ridiculed. I've seen that in my own family.
Yep, mine too.
Yes.
By the way, how do you deal? And I love your mask. We're going to have to talk about the mask line that you have. And it seems almost counterintuitive, but folks, wait until you see his masks. Oh my goodness, it's great. But how do you deal with people in your family that are like that? I don't want to, you know.
Well, this is just one young man, and he's in his early 20s, and he's a millennial. And I'm not necessarily going to change his mind. His aunt is working diligently to change his mind. But that's not a goal of mine, is to change anybody's mind, particularly. If they're interested, I'll certainly provide information. But changing a belief system of an adult is a very difficult, if not impossible, thing to do, isn't it, Doug?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you this. Excuse me. I had to go to see a doctor or a doctor's appointment last week. I'm not even sure I said this on the air. And when I went in, of course, you have to wear a mask, and you got to. It's so crazy because they have chairs that are taped off in the waiting room. So it's. I was the only one in the waiting room, actually, because I went really early in the morning. But anyway, so we got chairs where you can't sit, chairs where you can sit. So they're like 6 feet apart. You got to wear a mask. Right. You got to keep your mask on. I talked to the nurse, and the nurse is like, "Yeah, this is a bunch of crap." Talk to the doctor. Okay. So I said, "Hey, doc, you really think that these masks, you know, these paper thin masks help?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, yeah." And I said, "Let me show you some statistics and some scientific paperwork." "Oh, no, no. I'm not going to get in this discussion with you." It didn't go well, John.
Right.
It did
right.
not go
right.
well.
Right.
What the hell's going on? Why are they denying science? Doctors deny
well,
science.
I obviously can't explain why he's denying it, but I know they're under these medical offices and dental offices are both under strict guidelines upon threat of losing their license to practice medicine, to practice dentistry. If they don't go along with this silly stuff, they have no choice if they want to keep their license to practice medicine, practice dentistry, and probably chiropractic also. My wife was a chiropractor. That's a pretty heavy hammer to have the threat of losing your livelihood if you don't comply.
Yeah.
Why an individual doctor would do that, I don't know, because there's plenty of doctors who don't and won't. And they give it lip service of complying so they don't lose their license. But in their heart of hearts, they know it's a bunch of silliness. And medical doctors wear a mask in surgery to protect the patient, not to protect themselves.
Well, correct. Right.
They wear it for a limited period of time, only maybe an hour at the most. But wearing a mask all day long and building up the carbon dioxide in your bloodstream is not healthy for anyone. But if you've got heart issues, if you've got lung issues, maybe possibly some other issues, you're just going to make them worse by wearing that mask, aren't you?
Yeah, man. I got issues, and I don't wear a mask. I did wear a mask into the doctor's office because I needed to see him to talk with him about something. But beyond that, I don't wear a mask. And if anyone asks me about it, I just say, no, I'm not going to wear it. You know, get away from me. I know what you said. Right? I know people can lose their licenses, whether they're, I don't know, beauticians or restaurants or whatever, but doggone it, isn't it about time everyone just said, no, we're not doing this crap anymore?
Well, that's already happening in Europe. They're having tens of thousands of people in the streets protesting the lockdowns in Europe, in Germany, and other places. We've been behind the curve on that. I'm seeing some rumors and some small protests of Americans against the lockdowns and the mask wearing, but nothing anywhere near what it should be, Doug. Not even close
to
what it should.
We're too polite. I think the Americans are too polite. That's just, I really think that most Americans are, you know, we're easygoing. We're, right. You know, until someone starts poking us like, you know, I don't know, like getting poked like I'm, you know, by a hen. I think we're pretty much easy going, but I think that's to our detriment in this case. I think we need to all stand up and say, you know what, that restaurant that you're going to close, you're not closing it. We're not going to let you close it. As a matter of fact, all other restaurants, no, you're going to stay open. and we're going to help them stay open because I think we're fighting a paper tiger. I think these Democratic mayors, Democratic governors, they're paper tigers. I really believe that. And the federal authorities don't have any authority to come in and do much, depending on the business. But and even so, even at that level, let's fight them too. I don't know.
Absolutely. Well, if you happen to live in a blue city or blue county, blue state, it's going to be more difficult.
Sure.
Obviously, it will be. My hometown, St. Louis, Missouri, has become a blue city. The state itself is a very red state. We have 113 counties in Missouri. And out of that 113, there may be five or six blue counties. The rest are all deep blood red. if you live in one of those cities, it's going to be tough because most people believe that silliness. And you're going to be mostly alone. Not wearing a mask. Now, you mentioned my mask. At my website, we have a face mask made from mosquito netting. and they're made in the United States. They got a made in the United States label on them. We've got three Filipino women in just about a few miles from me. They're sewing these things 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. They're all caught up with back orders. We're shipping these things all over the planet, and people love them. Because they can be in compliance and still breathe.
So
and that's a pretty big deal.
I love this. Folks, go to thelibertyman.com, click on the link to the mask, or go directly to the link to the mask. I love this because, you're going to be in compliance. I guess by the silly rules, you're going to be in compliance. If they were really serious about things, you would not be, but by the silly rules that we got, you're in compliance. And, you're making a statement too, a pretty big statement. I like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Well, Doug, let's get back to,
go ahead.
Mike's article.
Yep. I got it open right here. Yeah.
Mike's article is foundational. It's important. People need to read it and incorporate his thoughts into their brain. Quite frankly, they need to. And hopefully move forward and look at their preparations. Make sure they haven't overlooked anything, that their food supply, their water supply, a way to heat their home when the power grid's down. All these things. Have some extra fuel on hand for their vehicle. Possibly have an EMP protection device on their vehicle, EMP shield. Maybe one for their home. Everything's on the table. And our opposition, whom I call socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims, they're not hesitant to use anything, including deadly force, to bring down this country, to disrupt the election. And if you happen to be in one of these blue cities and counties and states, you're certainly a lot more vulnerable and a lot more subject to having your power grid down, having your water supply down, having no food in the supermarkets, aren't you, Doug?
Exactly. And to your, what you said about the vehicles, folks, if you have an EMP shield on your vehicle, and depending on where you live, if you have your own garage or your own space, it's hopefully your own garage. If you go to Tractor Supply, if you haven't done this already, go to Tractor Supply, and they've got these 15 or 17 gallon gas cans, and they're on wheels, and they've got a hose, a detachable or attachable hose, where you can actually set these on the shelf, maybe just above the gas tank of your vehicle, and fill one or two. Get one or two. Fill. You have 30 plus gallons of gas in a very short or very small space that works on gravity. Or you can use the hoses that act like like priming a pump. And
right.
So you can do it because people say, well, gas places aren't, the gas stations won't work and such. Well, there are ways around that. So use your head.
Right. Right. Well, I encourage people to do that. That extra 15 or 30 gallons of fuel could literally be a matter of life and death. Literally.
Sure.
Be a matter of life and death. Be sure and put some good quality fuel stabilizer in it. The best I'm an Amsoil dealer. Amsoil has an excellent quality fuel stabilizer for gasoline and diesel fuel both. Another one is PRI. D is in Delta for diesel. PRI. G is in Gulf for gasoline. A good quality stabilizer would be good. Gasoline is very dangerous. You need to keep it stored outside the home, preferably in a yard building away from the house. Same thing with diesel fuel. It's not as explosive, but still flammable. Needs to be properly stored so that we don't have any tragedies, doesn't it, Doug?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... I wouldn't be smoking a stogie around, around the fumes from a gas can, but yeah. I mean, you gotta use your head, folks. And I think that I would really hope common sense prevails here. I know common sense is not very common, but, use your head when storing this kind of stuff and doing this kind of stuff. But,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah. That's a good heads up. The Tractor Supply Store with those, tanks, picking up 17 gallons of fuel would be a challenge for most people. But if it's on wheels, you can wheel it around if you need to.
Yeah.
And makes it pretty, very portable. That would be a real handy thing.
I just told my son-in-law, hey, can you go down and fill these up and then put them up there on the shelf so we have them? And he does that. And there you go. So what you need, folks, is a strapping guy. You know. All right. So anyway, back to Natural News, Mike Adams' article of a couple of days ago, timeline, September 20 to January 20. Keep going on this if you want, because there's a lot of grist in here. My goodness.
There is. Well, he makes reference to another article published at All News Pipeline, which does an excellent story and has done for many years. And that also was published yesterday. And here's the title of that article. As the clock ticks down, this nuclear election script has been written and is about to be unleashed upon America with nothing less than chaos, the Democrat endgame, if they don't win. That's written by Stefan Stanford, a regular contributor there at All News Pipeline. And it's another... excellent article to back up what Mike Adams has. And our friend Dave Hodges continues his good work. Recent article he published talks about the Tavistock Institute, been around since 1913, funded by the globalists. Their job is to provide training and information for how to influence people, entire countries, and change the way they think, change their belief system. And they've been very successful at that for more than a century, haven't they, Doug?
They have. Indeed, they have. You know, you just reminded me of something when you just said that. Joe Rogan apparently sold out, $90 million sold out. Now he's back in Biden. I'm not sure. I mean, Rogan had the biggest podcast, on the planet. And now he's back in Biden again. There was a $90 million sellout there. Something happened. I don't know all the particulars, but when I was on with Mancow this morning, he asked me if I'd sell out for $90 million. And you know, there is not a figure in my view of a dollar figure or a wealth of anything that would cause me to sell out my country and my children's future. Regardless. So I was kind of surprised to hear that. I didn't know about that, but I was kind of surprised to hear that. But I think that we have to be men and women of principle. And I know I'm pretty sure you wouldn't sell out for 90 million or 900 million. I think you would, maintain your principles as well.
Well, it's, you don't know what you would do until that money's laying on the table in front of you. But, Dave Hodges has published 4 hours ago an article titled "The Depopulation Agenda Connected to the COVID-19 Lockdowns," and then his article where he mentions the Tavistock is titled "Trump Announces Woman as Supreme Court Justice to Replace Ginsburg." So Dave's been doing a great job there locating this information and getting it published and helping us to understand what's going on in our world, hasn't he, Doug?
Yeah, he has. But, now, Donald Trump himself said he was going to name someone after the extended ceremonies for Ginsburg, probably Friday or Saturday. And I do suspect it's going to be a woman, and I suspect it's going to be from Florida. And I'll just leave it at that for the Supreme Court seat. But she's extremely conservative and extremely biblically literate. Now, it's not right. It's not Amy Berman Jackson or Amy Comey Jackson. It's not her. I'm not even sure I got the name right, but someone completely different in the lower court. But that's
this woman's already a federal justice.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that means she's already been through the vetting process at least once.
Right.
That should make things go a lot smoother, especially if the vetting process was fairly recent as opposed to 10 or more years ago. And the vetting process has become, for men anyway, has become brutal, absolutely brutal. These last two, Kavanaugh and the other guy, my goodness, what those men went through, no human beings have to go through that kind of
humiliation. What the hell with Kavanaugh? You know, I mean, I think people have already forgotten the Kavanaugh hearings, the pounding on the Supreme Court door by these maggots out there, you know, but by these Muppets. I'll tell you what, this is going to be, and by the way, if people think, if people have any concerns about an election year nomination for the Supreme Court, Ginsburg's own words, the president is elected for four, not three, but 4 years.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, that alone should end the discussion, but it won't.
Well, it should. It should, because we're dealing with emotion, not logic here.
Yep.
And the people that opposes most of what they do is based on emotion, not logic. Except at the very highest levels behind closed doors, there's a lot of logic involved. But the way they manipulate their followers and the masses is with emotion, isn't it?
Well, that's the only thing they have, because when you don't have facts, you've got emotions. And emotions, by the way, I mean, emotions are pretty strong when they're weaponized. It's pretty strong, you know, to rile up the masses. And so that's what they're doing.
Very strong. Well, first week I was in college debate, we were told the following. Never attempt to use a logical argument against an emotional argument. You'll always lose. If you attempt to use a logical argument against an emotional argument, you'll always lose. And we're advised not to do that. And I've always remembered that, Doug, as a foundational thing in my work and my life and being a talk show host and all the rest of it.
You know, yeah, you've learned a lot in your life, about dealing with people and about, both in the actual usage of tactics, but also in the assessment and analysis of tactics that are being used. So that's really good. And of course, John Moore, you go to libertyman.com, and, you can listen to John right there on the screen. You can see the, play button for the John Moore show live on RBN, and then you can drill down from there to the archive section. I urge everyone to do so. People love it when you come on, by the way. I want to say that I get a lot of emails and a lot of comments when you're on, so it's a good thing.
Well, good. Are we going to go back to video soon, sir?
Yeah. A couple of issues here. Technical.
That's enough. I mean, it's just, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
The reasons really don't matter as long as they're resolved at some point.
It's interesting. What's been happening is always happened on the day after 2 days down on a Monday. So, there's something to that. I'll just leave it at that. We're working on something.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good, because people love video. That's the modern age. People want to see video.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Well, Doug, the two things that keep coming up in our discussion are time and motivation to get people to get them moving to do what they can. I'm getting emails and phone calls from people all over the country that want to do something. They want to get out of the blue cities they live in. They want to get to a safe area. And I do what I can to help them within my limited ability. But just because time is short doesn't mean people should give up, does it?
Not at all. You know, it's I don't like the saying, it's not over until it's over, but that's true. And really, you should fight. You should do whatever you can until that clock is, you know, well, you can even go into overtime. I mean, just keep going. Just keep doing what you need to do. To hell with what's going on around you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you've got to fight. And if you're not willing to fight, if you're not willing to just, do whatever you need to do to get wherever you need to be, then I can't help you.
So, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, people can paralyze themselves out of fear, and people get motivated out of fear. It's not wise to make major decisions, that are fear-based. It's not wise at all. People may find themselves doing that. Selling a home or buying a home out of fear is probably not a wise thing to do. People need to pray about this. They need to sit down, and if they have a spouse, talk to that spouse. Pray together about any major decision. You know, I'm sitting here in the Ozarks in my safe haven, encourage people to leave these cities. That's easy for me to do. I've already made that move. I did that 19 years ago. But it was a big deal at the time for my wife and I, a really big deal. And of course it's a big deal, and it should be. But we did not make that move based on fear. We made it on calm, rational thought process, lots of prayer. And people need to be doing that. They need to be calm. They need to be rational. They need to pray about any major decision, selling their home, buying another home, leaving their job, getting a different job. These are major decisions that not to be taken lightly and not to be done in fear, are they, Doug?
You know, no. And some people will say, well, I don't have a home to sell, guys. You know, I don't have the money. I don't have the money, and I don't have the home to sell to get the money. To me, that makes things easier or less complicated,
right.
You know?
Right.
So I think sometimes our perspective, our situation is dependent upon our perspective, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, I was a landlord back in the early to mid 80s, and I had tenants that could pick up and move in a heartbeat because they had so few possessions. I know myself, when I was 22 years old, John Moore and all his worldly possessions, everything I owned on this planet, down to my last pair of socks, would fit in a British sports car with me still having room to drive it. You know, that's obviously not the case today. But the less possessions you've got, the simpler things become when it comes to moving, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, and we could walk away. And Glenn Beck did this some years ago. And I remember him talking about this. Him and his wife got together and looked at all the stuff they had. And they had this big sale. I mean, they sold off a bunch of stuff that they didn't need. And they simplified their lives. And I think, so do what the other people aren't doing. That's one thing Steve Quayle had told me. You know, don't be where everyone else is, which makes sense, especially when, you know, the stuff hits the fan. And don't do what everyone else is doing, you know, especially if what they're doing is going to take you down a bad path. And I think that's very good things to follow, you know.
Absolutely. Well, downsizing for too much stuff is something a lot of people feel they need to do, and they should, by all means, do that. But our concern right now is the people themselves, not the stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And okay, so to that end, I'll have people come up and say, and even my family. Well, my wife will say, I can't leave my family. I can't leave. What about grandchildren? What about this and what about that? And it's always, you're always going to be able to find a reason not to move or not to put yourself in a position or a location that would be more desirable than where you're at. So I would urge everyone to you know, rethink that. And you can always, if you can't move them with you, well, I mean, there are other ways to keep in touch. And
there are. Yeah. There are. Well, those concerns are legitimate on one hand. On the other, you could be establishing a safe haven for our family members who won't have the courage to move until they have no choice, until the smoke's at the end of the street and Antifa's marching up the street. Then they'll find the courage to move. And that's, and this is human nature, Doug. I've read several books on what happened in Poland when the Third Reich Army was coming to these Polish farming communities that had Jewish residents.
Right.
And they would arrive at the Jewish at the village with had some, not all, but some Jewish residents there, and they'd be arresting the Jewish people. In the meantime, a teenage Jewish boy or girl or both would run out the back door into the forest to their aunt and uncle's home the next village over and tell them the Germans are coming. You need to leave. And they still didn't leave, even though their blood relative is telling them that their cousins are being arrested at the next village over. That happened over and over again in Poland during World War II. And it happened to me during the Tet Offensive. I would tell my buddies to store up food and ammunition getting ready for Tet Offensive. A few paid heed, most did not. And of course, that first morning after the shooting began at about 3 a.m., they all knew that what I was saying is what they should have complied with and didn't pay heed to, but they didn't. So here we are again. It's human nature raising its ugly head in terms of people having not wanting to make a decision and being stuck where they are, and normalcy bias and denial. All these things kicking in are expected, aren't they, Doug?
Yeah, and I've heard from people who've said, well, you know, I've prayed about it, and I believe that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And if that's how you feel, then that's great. I mean, I'm okay with that. If you're making the decision based prayerfully, you know, based on prayer and based on non-emotional, how can I put this? If you are where you're at based upon knowledge input in spiritual guidance, then I'm okay with that, because maybe you've got a purpose to serve there. Maybe it's yours to fight. Maybe it's yours to sound the alarm bell. Maybe it's yours to, I don't know what else you do, but I'm okay with that. But for the majority of people who want to find safe haven, you can do it. You can do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the time to do it is before it's needed. Evacuating when you have no choice, throwing whatever you can throw in the family vehicle or vehicles, plural, and heading out to parts unknown. That's the definition of a refugee right there. When you've got your possessions with you, you don't have a destination that's prepared and waiting and anticipating you getting there. You've become a refugee. You really don't want to be in that position, do you, Doug?
No. But what about the people who want to leave the United States? I often wonder about that. Those people say, well, you know, maybe we should go to, oh, I don't know, Epstein Island. I'm kidding, of course, but, you know, an island somewhere.
Well, Costa Rica is a popular destination, for example.
Yeah,
I mean, and there's other places.
What about them?
Well, I would advise them to live in that country several months. The longer the better before they make a permanent decision. I would say 3 to 6 months before they decide to dramatically change their life in ways that would be hard to reverse.
Don't you think that's kind of giving up on America? In my view,
Well, of course it is.
Okay.
Of course it is. And you know, everybody's got their own situation. If you, you know, maybe you fought the good fight and you said, you know, I've done my part. I've had it. I'm out of here. People are going to have different attitudes. I know there was a number of people from the Confederate States of America that escaped to Brazil when they saw the war was being lost or had been lost, and they decided that they were not going to live in the United States once it was the Confederate States had been conquered by the invading country. So people got their own situation, and I respect that. If they think they need to leave, then God bless them. I wish them well. They may end up making a great decision. They may end up making a massive mistake. One of my listeners, she and her mother moved to Ecuador based on information they got from the alternative media.
Okay.
They've since moved back after they had two home invasions and the woman was raped. And dealing with the politics of Ecuador and all the insane things that take place in almost all third world countries when it comes to the judiciary and money and corruption and all the rest of it. You know, whatever you think's going on in this country is bad. You don't know bad until you've lived in a third world country, have you, Doug?
No. And I was going to say that kind of sucks to learn it that way. And I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, that would be horrific. You go, I mean, yeah. It'd be like living in a town that you're unfamiliar with and having all sorts of problems to just like that. I mean, think about that, folks. That wouldn't be very good. So, you know, I'm of the mindset. This country was built on people with guts, with brass ones, with men, real men, not these snowflakes out there who, you know, banging on pots or whatever they do, carrying umbrellas to shield themselves from non-lethal ammunition. This country was built on people who would kick butt and take names. And I think that we need to make a stand wherever we're at. We need to make a stand and say, you know what, not one more inch, not here. We're not going to put up with any of this. And if that leads to bloodshed, that leads to bloodshed. I mean, again, I'm not advocating it, but I'm saying that we got to take a stand. I'm tired. You know what, John? I'm tired. I am tired of being too tolerant of these numbskulls out there who want to tell me that I can use whatever bathroom I feel like. I'm tired of the people who are out there saying that, well, you know, I identify as a black person, and you know, I'm tired of the insanity, and I'm ready I'm ready to throw down right now. I'm ready. Serious.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Go
man.
For it, Doug. Well, these are personal decisions that people need to make on their own based on, you know, all the things that go into it. I've been fighting this fight for decades myself, and I'm not ready to give up. I'm not ready to immigrate to some country, leave the United States. I'm not ready to do that. I haven't really given any thought of any consequence. So here I am, fighting a good fight against the communist insurrection, working with local officials, my local sheriff, my local chiefs of police, the local first responders, setting up, equipment to help us during the hard times we have set up in my community, FM transmitters that transmit on the commercial FM frequency so that the local officials, the mayor, the chief of police, the fire chief, local pastors, if they need to talk to the entire community at one time, they can do so on just regular FM radio. That's just one example of what we've done and continue to do. We've got those set up in my community of Davisville, Missouri. Then we have Viburnum, Missouri, and then Cuba, Missouri, all have FM transmitters set up and ready to go during a crisis. And it takes years to put these things in place, you know, with volunteer help, donated money, and so forth. These things just don't pop up out of the ground by themselves. It takes a lot of time and diligence on the part of volunteers to do this.
And you said working, too, with first responders and such. That's one thing. You know, I look at the landscape. of America today. And a lot of people will take to heart what people like Rob Reiner says. Rob Reiner raging over the replacement of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, saying, "This is war. Dems have powerful weapons. Now's the time to use them." Okay, that to me is a bunch of hot air. What you just said, all right, and Rob Reiner, meathead, can talk all he wants and tweet all he wants and post on Facebook all he wants, but I'll bet you that guy never, not once, ever worked with a first responder, even toward his non-American goals, or worked with anybody in the streets. I'd almost have more respect for somebody who, you know, is out bomb making. And please don't take this out of context, people. But I mean, if you're that convinced, ideologically convinced of your position, then fight for it. But expect to be fought. Expect us to fight back. And, you know.
Right.
Does that make, I mean, I don't know if that, does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense. You know, for those who don't know, Rob Reiner played a TV character back in the 70s, a series named All in the Family, and his nickname was Meathead from his father-in-law.
Carol O'Connor.
It was kind of a goofy character. Yeah, a goofy character. Carol O'Connor was the lead character in the TV series. But, Meathead. And I don't know what he's done since then, if anything of any consequence, but that was how he became to national notoriety, was in that TV series. Hollywood people are real prone to making prognostications and telling us what we should be thinking, what we should be doing, don't they?
Yeah, you know, and like you said, get out there and work with the people that, you know, at least, well, maybe you don't have to work with them, but at least interact with them and make your position known and, you know, get with like-minded people and draw your line in the sand.
If there's a crisis, it'd be really handy to be on a first name basis with the chief of police.
Yeah.
On a first name basis with the sheriff and the fire chief and the paramedic chief.
For the right reasons.
That could be a real handy thing.
Yeah.
Really handy.
Yeah.
And many communities have a police auxiliary, a fire auxiliary, a sheriff's auxiliary, which need people, they need volunteers, they need people to help. Plus, there's a bonus. Here's the bonus. These cell phones, the companies can shut down everybody except first responders, because first responders have a special situation that they allow their phone, like me. I'm part of it. My cell phone will work, Doug, when yours won't.
Right.
And if you're not part of one of these groups.
Right.
And that could be a matter of life and death also, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could. And I know that some people hearing this will say, well, geez, you know, that could work a number of different ways, you know, against you as well. Well, it depends, like you said, what's your relationship with the sheriff, with the chief of police, with the chief of D's?
Right. Well, I'm having dinner with my sheriff tonight, and, I meet with these guys once a month at the chief's meeting, which is separate from the dinner I'm having tonight with the sheriff. And most of these outlying communities, it's not that difficult to do.
Right.
To meet the sheriff, get to know the sheriff, the chief of police, the fire chiefs, and so forth, the mayors. It's not that difficult to do. And they almost always are very personable. These are elected officials. They like to meet their constituents as part of who they are. It's how they maintain their job. Is meeting their constituents, getting to know their constituents. And it's late in the game to be doing that now, 43 days before the election. But it doesn't mean people shouldn't make the effort to get started, does it?
No. If you still have breath and they still have breath and you still have time, hey, 43 days, it's going to go quickly, very quickly. I agree with that. But 43 days is still 43 days. So let's do something productive and preventative during that time period, as well as make plans if we have to go on. I got to be careful how I say this. If you're forced to go on the offensive, make sure you've got the capabilities of doing that and not just, you know, not from just watching some YouTube video. And make sure you're well enough to do that, or have somebody do that, you know, as a point person. Yeah. And again, I'm not advocating violence here. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying be smart about the things that you're planning on doing or that you need to do. So
be smart. Absolutely be smart.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, you know, going back to what Mike Adams wrote, and I think you pointed this out very well, you know, none of this stuff that we're talking about is going to end with this election. It doesn't matter who gets in. It's going to get exponentially worse, or by multiples of magnitude worse after this election, regardless of who gets in office. And the same goes with RBG's replacement. That's what I believe.
I agree. So, I agree absolutely.
And oh, by the way, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, but the coronavirus response, and I mentioned Sundance article, you know, the what is it here? True the Vote. They outline an election warning, of course, and you know, the notes that Sundance wrote in this article. Without COVID-19 panic, Democrats could not easily achieve mail-in voting. I think I mentioned that. Okay, so that's desperately needed in battleground states in order to control the outcome. And then the left cannot shut down rallies and player, without
as much COVID. As I would like to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but yep. Yeah, so, and then, let's see here, look at Biden. And by the way, what are your thoughts on, you know, Mr. Potato Head coming out there and, then putting Mr. Potato Head?
I'll tell you what this is my speculation based on what I know. I believe that if the plan would be, if Biden would be elected, that, within a relatively short time, a couple, 2 to 3 months, he would resign. Kamala Harris would become president and appoint Hillary as her vice president. And not too long after that, Kamala would resign.
Or be boxed up. Yeah.
So.
Well, okay. Kamala Harris, she's not even constitutionally eligible to become president. We know that. Or
well,
for the office.
Well, Hussein Obama wasn't either. It didn't seem to slow him down, though, did it?
No. And why? And you know what? Let me ask you, why not? Why in the hell was, because I asked Jack Cashel, you know, look, I love Jack Cashel. His book is great, Unmasking Obama. And we had a discussion off air. And I said, why in the hell didn't you stand up with everyone else and say, no, he's not constitutionally eligible? And the short answer was, well, you know, you got to kind of pick your battles. And that was a battle I didn't want to pick because, and he had some good points for it because he was really into some other areas that were very incisive into Obama. So, okay. But what does that give us, the rest of us, an excuse? Yeah, I don't know. But
right. Well, so. There is, you know, Obama becoming the nominee of the Democratic National Convention was a crime. He was not eligible. And all the major players are still alive, so they can still be gone after. If we ever see that, it remains to be seen. There's lots of things this president can do once he raises his hand for that second term. The events of 9/11/01, for example. Everything that took place with Obama. There's a possibility that everything Obama signed would be declared null and void.
Sure.
Because he wasn't eligible to be president in the first place. That's a possibility. What a nightmare that would be. But maybe that needs to happen also. We can survive it.
Yeah, we can. And I think we should have the brass ones to go out and do it. I mean, make sure it gets done. I was listening to Jim Jordan talk on one of the Sunday programs, and this was about Russiagate and about the FISA abuse and all that stuff. And he said, well, you know, we don't have the power that the Department of Justice has. And that's true. They don't. However, once it's exposed, where in the hell's Barr? What's he doing? I mean, for gosh sakes, for years, trust Sessions. Well, okay. Nothing happened under Sessions in the Department of Justice. Now Barr comes in. And so we see Kleinsmith, one of the FBI attorneys, get indicted. Okay. Yeah. Go on. But yeah, we're not seeing anything more. What's going on?
Well,
with this?
Apparently, you know, the four committees in the U.S. Congress all wrote a letter to the Department of Justice expressing their concern that Durham's investigations will favor Donald Trump in the election. They're very concerned where Durham's investigations are going, or they would not have written that letter.
True.
So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that this is the what we need to have some confidence that Durham's investigations will yield more indictments. Is there more than one? One attorney, FBI attorney, that's the only one I'm aware of. Is there more than one?
No, so far that's it. Now, it's my understanding that Comey is going to testify on September 30th before the, which committees? I forget right at the moment. But what he says, you know, he's going to testify about his behavior during Crossfire Hurricane. And, you know, why did he sign off on FISA warrants that he knew were false? That's number one. And then, of course, you know, we got to have Susan Rice brought in to ask her, why would she on the 20th of January, you know, send a memo to herself saying we did everything by the book? When, by the way, Biden was at that, that meeting on January 5th in the White House, January 5th, 2017, before Donald Trump was sworn in. And Biden brought up the Logan Act, which it just blows my mind.
That's grasping at straws.
Yeah. So I mean,
I tell you what Susan Rice was doing.
It was a cover her ass situation.
Well, it's called documenting the file.
You know what, John? I'll bet you that is the very first and only email to herself she ever sent. Because look, I know you.
Maybe very well.
I know you, and I know how. I mean, I think I know you, and I think I know how you operate, and I think I know that you are very, very proficient and will document the crap out of everything.
When I'm working a case, every phone call gets recorded. Not recorded, you know, with a recording, but I document with a written memorandum every conversation, every phone call that I do. That's how I was trained as a paralegal. That was further trained as and actually before that in military intelligence.
Absolutely.
Everything's documented because your memories, are flawed. I don't care how good your memory is. Memories are flawed. And having a documented file, which is what Susan Rice did, was to cover her butt in the future.
Right.
That's why that was done. That's exactly why it was done.
But see, I would, you know, look, you and I do it. Okay. As a matter of habit, we were trained that way. And maybe she was too. I don't know. I don't know what her answer would be under oath, but I'll tell you something. It seems like an awfully, convenient thing to do at a very convenient time over a very, not so, convenient matter, to do this. So if she did it every time, fine. If she did it this time, not before, then not so fine. So that's just my view on things. But
absolutely, absolutely. Well, I don't know if she's done that as a course of habit or done it occasionally here and there. There's no way I can know that. Your statement is probably the statement as to this woman ever having done it previously. Very likely.
Yeah. And you know, here we are. We're talking about being 43 days away from the election. What the hell have we done in the last, all but 43 days of the 4 years? And looking back, I've got to say that Donald Trump has done a hell of a lot more than people realize. He's changed the trajectory of the various federal courts. He's, you know, put so many federal judges in. He has built, some of the wall, not all of it. Okay. Ann Coulter, I know that you want more built, but, he didn't. He's done everything, but he's met opposition at every turn, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's been opposed at every which way, but he's overcome everything they've thrown at him. impeachment because he made a proper and good phone call with the leader of another country. And just an endless list of attempting to sabotage this man's administration at every possible moment. Even things like his wife, the most attractive professional model that we've ever had in the White House.
Yeah.
Not a single national magazine has featured her on the cover. That's just a slap in the face is all that is. It's all of it.
Yeah, I mean, you got Michelle Obama with her package out there, you know, on various covers and stuff. But, of course, they got to, you know, airbrush that out. But you know, exactly. And speaking of that, too, how many of these journalists out there there's no respect for President Trump. None. You know, it's, and I hesitate to even say Trump as opposed to President Trump. I believe that the office and the man deserve a hell of a lot more respect than what they're getting. And just imagine if the press and the public would have treated Obama this way. Just imagine that.
Oh, that wouldn't have been tolerated. That wouldn't have been tolerated for a day.
No, not at all.
People, anybody advocating that or doing it would be just smacked down real quick. Right.
Exactly. So where to now? I'm limited.
Coming back to the basics, we have limited time and people need to hear a message a number of times before they get it. That's just the way people are. So get your spiritual house in order, ladies and gentlemen. The single most important thing you can do, the most powerful weapon you'll ever have is your brain, not some firearm or firearms, plural, your brain. So get your spiritual house in order. Make sure that you and your spouse are on the same page when it comes to what these issues are and how to deal with them. Then develop a strategy, a workable strategy. If you live in urban suburban areas, make sure you've got an evacuation plan to go to a safe haven where there's people that will be smiling and hoping that you show up as you escape the city. Make sure that plan is viable. If it involves a drive, drive it at night. Everything's different at night. You only drive it in the daytime. You may not recognize anything at night. So drive that escape path, or path plural, at night. That's very important. Make sure your fuel tank always has at least half a tank of fuel, if not more. Make sure you've got at least a minimum of a 90-day supply of food, preferably more. I like to have a two-year supply myself. A lot of freeze-dried food. Long-term storage food. Make sure you've got all the potable water to get you through at least 30 days. Make sure you've got a way to heat your home if the power grid, the natural gas, fail. All these things play into overall preparedness, don't they, Doug?
Well, they do. And yeah, folks, one thing that's overlooked is water. So make sure you've got freeze-dried water stored heavily there. I'm kidding. Make sure you've got a way to get fresh water for your long-term storable food, as well as for your daily needs. The Life Straws, great stuff. Berkey water filters, if you've got them, if you can get them. You've got a line of, or you've got Berkey water filters.
I no longer sell the Berkeys because we couldn't get inventory. I'm now a dealer for Pure Water, and it's an excellent high quality filter. And they have something that Berkeys don't. The plastic spigot on front of those Berkeys, I've seen people that they have a pair of ice grips there because it broke off. But the spigot on the front of the Pure Water is solid stainless steel, so it's not going to break off.
Okay. All right. So if people go to thelibertyman.com, just check on your website, right? Check on your website for answers, for the things that they need or they could have as a method of compliance, such as your masks. Let's not forget the masks, folks. Mosquito netting masks. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm my wife actually, was taking a look at those, and we're going to be placing an order this evening for your masks.
All right.
only because we're
sometimes gonna, you got to go somewhere. You got to have a mask if you want to gain entrance to the premises.
Yeah, I just want to see. Have you had any reports about what people any interactions like somebody wearing one of those masks? And, again, it's a mosquito netting mask. Okay, so have you had any reports by anyone?
No. Well, it's here and there. Here okay. and there. It's been all very positive. Typically, the people who are checking for compliance, they could care less. They're bored to tears. Right. They don't care if anybody complies or not, really. But they're forced in that position, and they just get a chuckle out of it. That's what I've seen. I was in an AT&T store the other day, and everybody got a chuckle out of my mosquito net face mask. I didn't put it on. I just held it up to show people. And I ask them, I do this frequently, do you feel safe now? And I did that Saturday, and a woman wearing a mask said, well, I feel safe, but you're putting yourself at risk.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't go there. I mean, she really believes this. She really feels that the mask she's wearing is protecting her from a virus which enters your body through a mucous membrane, right, which includes two eyeballs, two nostrils, and one mouth. Well, you got 3 out of 5 covered. So we'll fool those viruses by sitting 6 feet away from each other and sitting at every other table and putting on a mask, because the virus knows it shouldn't go into your mucous membrane called the eyes, doesn't it?
You know, I love those plexiglass things that hang down in front of the 7-Eleven or, you know, in a 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah. The cashier. Everywhere. I got them all over the place.
Okay. Which, I understand. If you've got the, I don't know if people might remember in Seinfeld, the close talker, right? I mean, if you got a close talker, or if you have somebody who, will launch spittly stuff as they speak, I get that. Okay. But for an airborne respiratory virus. Yeah. Okay. What are they really doing? I mean, I should have bought stock in plexiglass companies or something. I don't know. But, jeez.
Right.
People have lost their flipping minds. They really have. You know, where else and when else have we seen, you know, it's okay. So you go out without a mask in places in California, they can arrest you and fine you.
Right.
However, if you go in and bust into a Nordstrom's and take out some merchandise, the cops will stand down. What in the hell's wrong right. with us?
Well, the police are acting as they're ordered to act. They don't want to put their careers and pension at risk by going against direct orders from their bosses.
How's that working out? I mean, I see a mass exodus from the police departments all across the United States. And, oh, and by the way, one thing we haven't talked about, I don't know whether I'm sure you've seen this and talked about this, but the Department of Justice releases details on why 3 U.S. cities were designated as anarchist jurisdictions. You've got Portland, you've got Seattle, and you've got New York City have been designated as anarchist jurisdictions. Don't you love that? I mean, I do.
Well, that's what they are. Yeah. They are anarchist jurisdictions. My hometown of St. Louis is one of them. It's an unfortunate fact of life, but that's what it is. It's a fact of life.
Well, that's going to leave a mark with respect to federal funding. And that's really where it's going to hurt the most is the federal funding. But when you've got, like in Portland, 100 days this month, 100 consecutive nights of protests, not really protests, vandalism, riots, chaos, killings, the shootings increased by more than 140% in June in July 2020 compared to the same period last year. Shootings, 140%. By the way, just in case you didn't know, in all of this, the Portland City Council cut $15 million from the police, eliminating 84 right. positions. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There you go. That's good. Again, 2020, the year we learned what happens when you give participation trophies to losers when they're kids. That's just what I'm saying.
That's right.
Help me, yep. Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. but yeah, New York City the same way. And so I see this backfiring in a way on these elections in 43 days. I see a lot of this backfiring. I see... I just, I, I, I believe Donald Trump is going to win by a landslide, but legitimately. But I also believe that massive voting fraud, and the playbook is to call in the results, call to question the results, by the left. And
that's all they're left. They don't have anything left. That's all they got.
That's it. That's it. And then what? Let me ask this as an open question as opposed to one that I was going to segue from that. What would it take, and I'm asking John Moore this, what would it take for the average person like you, me, or any second, or any person of average sensibilities with a lot to lose? I'm talking families, I'm talking about homes, what would it take for us to go to the streets like Antifa and say, what would it take? Is there one event that would cause this? What would it take? What would it take for us to take to the streets with our ARs or AKs or, whatever, Tech Nines and say, no, we're here to tell you this ain't happening. What would it take? I'm asking you that question. I want to know the answer. What would it take? Would it take?
Well, it's going to be different things.
Assassination?
All right. People, they're very reluctant to take action. That's just the nature. You mentioned earlier about how polite Americans are, and we tend to be polite. But it's going to be different things for different people. They won't do anything until they have no choice, I don't believe. I don't believe they will. And then they will. We see this over and over. The best example would be hurricanes. We now, with the modern age, we've got a minimum 3 days warning about a hurricane hitting a particular area of the East Coast or Gulf Coast. And despite having this 3 days warning, people wait until the last moment to go ahead and get out of town,
right,
and leave. They wait till the very last moment. That happens time and time again. I recall the photographs of Houston where we had 12 lanes of highways all going the same direction for people to get out of Houston. That's not necessary. With 3 days' notice, if you go ahead and leave. You don't wait till that third day when everybody leaves at once. But it happens over and over again. And at the same time, the generators are sold, the food is sold out, and there's no gas at the gas stations. this happens over and over again, Doug. It's just, and we've learned to expect it.
I remember about 10 years ago, there was I think it was in the winter or summer. It might have been in the winter time. I don't know the exact time of year, but, it seems to me it was cold out and it was maybe gaining on winter, that's exactly what it was. Hurricane season roughly, in Florida and the South. And the weather services, expect, some horrid, weather coming up from the hurricane up here in the middle Atlantic. I mean, all the way up here to the extent where you're going to have power outages for the long periods of time and such. So I went to the store. I went down to, I think it was Home Depot or Lowe's, and they were out of generators.
And of course.
They had generators 2 days before, but they were out this time. I found one generator in a store. It was their last one. And, it would power up. It would be enough to power up your coffee maker and maybe your, I don't know. It was a small generator, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So, but you're right. I mean, it's, I don't know. But the other thing too, when I asked you that question, I'm thinking to myself, I mean, if somebody walked by and kicked my dog or hit my dog or hurt my dog by, intentionally, that would be enough to get me off. Now it's on. It is on. It is on. Believe me, it is on. Okay. I'm coming at you with everything I got. And that includes my Mossberg 590 with, with some pretty badass ammunition. So, you know, again, what's it going to take? I don't know. I'm frustrated.
Well, it is frustrating, no doubt. We know what's coming. We know the hurricane's right around the corner. We're warning people. There'll be some who pay heed, and most won't until they have no choice. Then they'll decide to get out of Dodge.
Right.
But that's the way it is, Doug.
Yeah, it is. You know? Human nature is like that. I mean, I've learned to accept that in the 60. Well, you're a hell of a lot older than I am, so.
A bit.
I'm kidding, folks. A bit.
Well, you were in preschool when I was a senior in high school.
That's right. And yeah, I was still in diapers when you were, no, I have to say this. You're in all seriousness, you're really in good shape. So I expect you to live another 40, 50 years, probably, but.
Well, that's an area of study I've yet to look into, but, apparently there are men and women who live much, much longer than we ever thought in this old world of ours.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
150, 160, 200 years old men and women that, they just keep quiet. They don't seek any notoriety, but they're out there.
I remember when Lincoln was shot. I remember where I was that day. I'm joking, of course, but yeah, it's, I don't know. Yeah. So here we are 43 days away. And I would, so since we last got together, if we did an inventory of all of the news headlines and such, the death of Ginsburg, we could have kind of called that. By the way, I think Donald Trump knew when he made those announcements of Supreme Court picks. He got the word, don't you think? He got the word that, yeah, she's not going to be around for a while, for very long.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right.
But Ted Cruz, I'm just saying. I don't know. So, I mean, if you just look back at the news items, like I was saying, since we got together over the last 7 days, we could not, if we sat down and just read the headlines, it would take twice as much as 2 hours to do that.
Absolutely it would. Absolutely.
And I think between now and the next time we get together, you know, it would be maybe three times that time that we would need. So we're gonna have to buckle up and be prepared for things, man. We really are.
What needs to happen? We're in for a wild ride. This entire country is in for a wild ride. There'll be things happen the next 3 or 4 months that it's hard to imagine how serious and how bad things will get, Doug. It really is hard to imagine, but they will get very bad, and very serious.
You know, okay. I got an email. I was supposed to ask you this, and let me pull up the email right now. Has John Moore noticed any food and grocery price increases or shortages?
Right.
And well, if so, what?
The manager of my local supermarket is a friend. We have lunch once a month and have coffee occasionally. He says, John, for years I've ordered from my warehouse 850 items a week. He says, the last 4 months I get about half that of what I ordered. So he's got his clerks filling in the shelves to make it look like he's got inventory that doesn't exist. And I said, you know, that's just the beginning, don't you? He says, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's just the beginning. It's coming on hard, and it's coming really fast. And food charges soon to be followed by fuel charges, soon to be followed by spare parts. I was talking to a gunsmith Thursday evening. He says, John, I can't even get spare parts for firearms now. We known there was a shortage of firearms and ammunition. It didn't occur to me there'd be a shortage of spare parts for the firearms, but there are.
Shortage of spare parts for the firearms. Okay.
Right.
I was talking to a gentleman who ordered lowers in other parts for an AR-15.
Right.
Didn't have too many problems. I think maybe one or two pieces might have been delayed, but beyond that, didn't have too much of a problem. I don't know if that means anything to you. Just saying.
Right.
Okay. I'm looking at things here. That article by Mike Adams, I just want to say, had made a lot of different forums over the days. And has been very well received by many places that are antagonistic even to our position. So that should tell you something. So
absolutely. Yep. Absolutely it does. And people need to pay heed. The article we're talking about is at Mike Adams' website, naturalnews.com, naturalnews.com. And get there and read it, pay heed, and then take action. It's easy to read the article and move on, but in the absence of paying heed and taking action, not much else is going to happen, is it?
No, not at all. And speaking of taking action, we need to ask about your October training session. Okay, so
well, we've postponed it. We didn't get enough people in time.
Okay,
and we've postponed it till next spring. A new date to be determined.
Okay,
and so we will do that then.
Yep. All right. That's fine. That's fine. It's not that I knew that. Okay. No, that's fine. and you know, I think by doing so, it might, well, I don't know. I probably would have preferred it to be done next spring anyway, but that's just me for a lot of reasons that I just don't want to get into, but I think that's the best thing.
Well, we'll look at probably late March or April when we know we can be out there without freezing our butts off.
Yeah.
And, it'll be a good event. And, event of this nature, we need more lead time anyway. People got to save up money. They got to plan a week off from work and so forth.
Right.
So we'll give people plenty of time for the next, the date we got set up.
That's right.
All right.
And folks, let me remind you one more time, go to thelibertyman.com. The link will be in the program description box. Where, folks? At HagmanReportLive.com. And click on the link for John Moore's very, very dapper masks. Go with any outfit whatsoever. I mean, any outfit. And the masks are made of mosquito netting. Of course, it's, you'd call it a novelty, I suppose, right? A compliance novelty.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that would be a good description. A compliance novelty, absolutely. Okay. A good description. Yep.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, something where you wouldn't want your surgeon wearing that in the surgery. But, all right. Yeah. So, folks, do that. Go to libertyman.com and become fashionable and make a statement at the same time. It could save you a few bucks in terms of fines, if that's in an area where you're at. Hey, you're wearing a mask. It's just not, it's a mask, period. It's a mask. I would be really interested in seeing what the cops would say in like Berkeley or at like Berkeley or something,
right.
You know?
Right.
Let me know.
Well, cops tend to be about the same all over the country. They're athletes, they're good guys, they're team players, and they're straight-ahead thinkers for the most part. There can be exceptions, but they tend to be the same all over the country, don't you think?
Yeah, I for the most part, you know, there will be exceptions, and I'm sure I'm going to hear about theirs, read the exceptions in the comments. But yeah, for the most part, I think so. And I think some things change. By the way, with police officers, I think some things changed after Desert Storm. I think when they started recruiting some people, some police officers after Desert Storm and even the second Gulf War, based on their terminology, not mine, I think some things happened to the mentality. Some cops were kind of, we kind of lost that Mayberry effect.
Right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
But anyway.
Absolutely.
I mean, we got about 3 minutes, or about, no, I'm sorry, about five or six minutes left. Close us out with whatever you want to talk about.
Well, we have a Monday through Friday on my radio show, at the John Moore Radio Show. We have regular guests that provide life-saving information, literally. Fridays, we have my friend, Dr. Lynn Wilbert, talking for health-related matters. Before him, we've got Tom Berryhill, a 50-year veteran of the ham radio hobby, who has made his living in dealing with electronics and manufacturing electronics as a subcontractor for the Defense Department. Of course, Monday is Firearms Monday with Sam Andrews. And Sam teaches the military how to be better marksmen. Lots of guests who have lots of knowledge all through the week, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time, 8 to 11 Eastern, and it's at Republic Broadcasting, of course, and everything is linkable from my website, both the live shows and the archives at thelibertyman.com. Be sure you put it in your browser. Don't use a search engine. You'll end up someplace you don't want to be. Thelibertyman.com, not thelibertyman.net or some other thing. Only thelibertyman.com. I have another website that's for event planners only, Doug, and a lot of your listeners end up there because they didn't use their browser. They use a search engine instead. And I deal with it, but it's distracting for both of us. So yes. thelibertyman.com in your browser, please.
Yes.
It'll
yes.
save both of us a lot of time.
No search engines. In fact, folks, it's real simple. HagmanReportLive.com. Click on today's show or the show for today. Open it up, and all you have to do is look right there, and there's the link to John's site, thelibertyman.com. Don't put it in a browser. Put it in your address bar, or don't put it in the search engine. Put it in your address bar. That's right.
Absolutely.
All right, my man. Well, I appreciate it. I do appreciate it. Hour five.
It's always fun, Doug. It's a fast 2 hours.
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you what. People learn stuff when you come on. It's good stuff.
Do. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you. We'll do this next week.
Yes, sir.
TV soon.
Okay. Yeah, in fact, next week, I can tell you this with certainty. I'll make sure I'm out of my pajamas and cleaned up. We will have video next Monday, so it's all good.
Sounds good, Doug.
All right, brother.
See you then.
All right.
Thank you.
See you.
All right, bye.
All right, folks, that was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. You know, he's a friend of mine, and he's really got a lot on the money. I mean, he's a lot on the money with respect to what's going on. Couple of things I want to hit before I just end this broadcast. Passengers, all passengers on Epstein's flight logs are going to be named. You know that the list that came out by that one pilot? I'm not even sure I know the name. The news reports. That list is going to look like it was printed on a post-it note. That's right. A post-it note. It is going, I mean, let me tell you, when this list comes out, oh boy. Oh boy. And one more thing. The Wiener laptop. Did you know that members of the FBI had instructed the information on the Wiener laptop to be destroyed? No. FBI agent who uncovered Wiener laptop with crooked Hillary emails says Obama FBI leadership told him to just erase everything, all of the findings. Now, this is with regard to the emails, specifically with, you know, the emails. Now, John Robertson was an FBI agent who investigated crimes against children, which, not a coincidence, is how he'd stumbled upon Hillary Clinton's emails. Remember that name, John Robertson, Robertson. Remember that name, and remember this story, this account, because you're going to be hearing more about this. And sadly, crimes against children. John was assigned to this case, to the Anthony Weiner case. And, of course, Weiner was married to Huma Abedin, Hillary's, Eric the Tech, what was she? Hillary's, fill in the blank, pillow. I don't know. But during the investigation of Weiner's computer, John discovered thousands of Hillary Clinton emails and said, "Hey, James Comey, Jim, look what we found." Yeah. Comey said, nah. Now, Robertson said this: "I possess, the FBI possesses, 20 times more emails than Comey testified to." While Comey did not know at the time about what I have, this is Robertson talking. People in the FBI, they know now. And as far as I know, I've been silent. So he's coming out and saying, "Look, I'm going to talk and I'm going to just spill everything, because otherwise it would be unethical." Charles Ortel weighed in on this. Charles Ortel I've had on the program, and he weighed in on this last week. October surprise, new details emerge about FBI delay on Weiner laptop in 2016. So the Charles Ortel on Twitter. October surprise. Oh, and Huma is not happy. But the question is this going to go anywhere? Is this really going to go anywhere? By the way, Gateway Pundit had reported on this as well. I've talked to Alex Jones about this many, many times. And I've talked to you folks about this many times. You know Eric Prince, right? The brother of Ms. DeVos. Eric Prince. The founder of Blackwater. In late 2016, right before the election, Eric Prince was on Breitbart Radio. And he said some shocking things about Weiner's emails. He said that he claimed insider knowledge of the investigation that could help explain why FBI Director Comey had to announce that he was reopening the investigation in Clinton's email server the previous week because of Weinergate and the sexting scandal by Weiner. The NYPD started investigating. Through a subpoena, through a warrant, they searched his laptop and sure enough found those. You ready for this number? 650,000 emails. But he says this Eric Prince now. They found way more stuff than just more information pertaining to the inappropriate sexting the guy was doing. They found State Department emails. They found a lot of other really damning criminal information, including money laundering. The fact that Hillary went to this sex island with convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Yes. You see the segue there? But Bill Clinton went there more than 20 times. Hillary went, at least 6 times. And those numbers are low. And the amount of garbage they found in these emails, of criminal activity by Hillary, by her immediate circle, and even other members of Congress on the Democratic side was so disgusting. They gave it to the FBI and they said, we're going to go public with this if you don't reopen the investigation, if you don't do the right thing with timely indictments. This, Eric Prince said, do you remember this? Any of this ringing any bells with anybody? Where in the hell are these now? Prince shared that the NYPD kept a copy of all of the emails on Wiener's computer. And I can tell you this with 100% certainty. You bet your... He most certainly did. And others have them as well. Well, if he's, you say that, why haven't we seen him? Well, that's a good question. It's a really good question. There's an authentication process. But honestly, I don't know why. I don't know why. We need to see them. We need to see them all. Folks, I hope, I'm going to thank you each for joining me today and John Moore. And I want to thank so much for your belief and your trust in this platform, in us. We're going to be doing everything we can to keeping you informed in the hours and the days ahead. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.